Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
You're having fun in the first hour. Games that have been played in the history of sports that you wish you could have been to. Rick goes with the 1980 U.S. Olympic team's win over the Russians, a game that was on tape delay here in the States. 4-3, right? That was the final, right? 4-3, Ruzziani scored the game-winning goal in the third period.
America's guest, baby. Mike Ruzziani.
Mike Ruzziani. That was a good American team, though.
Yeah, that was a good, under the circumstances, yeah, it was a really good team. But they
right, to take college kids? I mean, he selected some great college kids that really had successful NHL careers.
Yeah, no, I mean, it did. The team he picked was a really good team, but it wasn't at the level that Russian team was.
No.
Not even close.
Nothing was at the level of Russia. That's why it was so surprising that they beat them.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I wasn't born, but I couldn't imagine being at that game and then all of a sudden it becoming a reality that the U.S. could pull us off. I would be going crazy.
Yeah, people went nuts.
It almost overshadows, too, what Eric Heiden did in that Olympics, too, by the way.
What do you have, five gold? Was it who five golds or five medals?
Yeah, five.
Five golds?
Five. He could be. We actually had this was one of the coolest things ever. He was actually ended up being our team doctor for one of our USA teams. Like that, I mean, you want to talk about making you feel like you've achieved nothing. So he, by the way, his quads back when he was winning gold medals speed skating were 33 inches around.
Didn't he turn into like a professional cyclist as well?
Tour de France. And then once he was done with that. No, you're laughing. Then once he was
done with that.
He became a doctor. Yeah.
Like an elite orthopedic surgeon, not just a doctor.
Yeah, he was a Sacramento Kings team doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a guy, needless to say, has accomplished a lot in his life.
Yeah, this wasn't like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons, like he's working at some strip mall. This is like he's a legit, renowned doctor.
Renowned.
Dude, he was telling us some of the stuff he used to do. Because the second he tells us that his quads were 33 inches around, which is like the size of your waist, he's like, yeah, I'd have days where I would do, one of his heavy days, he would do 300-pound squats 300 times.
Oh,
that was the
God.
Workout. 300 pounds, 300 times.
That's insane.
Insane.
He ain't got no cartilage in his
knee. Insane. Oh, he probably can't even walk. Then he rides bikes afterwards. He probably can't even walk. But I mean, I couldn't even imagine.
By the way, did you see where the commissioner, Chris, is going to be announcing the picks during the draft in 1 week from this coming Thursday from?
Yes, he's going to be doing it from his basement in Bronxville, right?
Yes.
There you go. One Roger Goodell.
This is going to be a different kind of draft.
Probably a beautiful basement.
I'm sure, but still.
$40 million a year.
It must be unbelievable. But what do you can't make it too nice, can you?
I'm sure he has plush accommodations, Dave. We're talking about the commissioner of the NFL.
I'd love to take all the nice crayon, stuff out? Crayon drawings on the wall from his kids.
It'd be funny if he actually had his kids boo him. Like if his
that
kids
would be
were down
cool.
in the basement
that would be
him.
Cool.
Boo, that you stink, fun. Dad. Yeah. Boo. You're the worst dad ever. Boo.
We want Adam Silver. You stink.
That would be hilarious.
Boo. All right, we'll hear from Mark Teixeira in just a matter of moments, but the phone lines are all lit up, and we want to get to your calls, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Brendan in Mineola. Brendan, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, guys? My game that I wish I could have been at, Chris, you actually played in it. Real quick, though, Rick, I know you live in Huntington. I own a store named United Cheesesteaks on Main Street. You got to come try it out. It's awesome.
Dude, it's funny that you say that. It's funny that you say that, is that my wife and I were talking about that before this whole thing started. That you guys, we always are in Huntington eating whenever we go out. You were at the top of the list of places we needed to try. 100%.
You got to try. You got to come in. All right. It's awesome.
Now, Brendan, let me interrupt you for a second. When he comes into the store, will you have him sign a portrait and then put it up on the wall?
I'll have him sign the wall.
Sign the wall?
I got a nice graffiti of a whole cheesesteak. He could sign the wall.
Nice. There you go. Beautiful. Yeah.
All right, my game that I wish I was at was Giants 49ers NFC Championship. The display Eli put on, the beating he took, the all-around team, like Chris, the defense, the way you guys played, it was just such a overall team win. But Eli, the beating, oh, my God, like it was unbelievable.
No, that was an awesome game, man. We had a little bit of everything in that game because it was raining. You know, you had the wind. It was just, it was, the elements were crazy. The crowd at Candlestick was unbelievable. But, yeah, to your point, man, Eli put on a hell of a performance. And then defensively, we had a couple of big moments.
Anyone that questioned Eli up until that point, all answers were answered. Like, all questions were answered. He put everything on the line. He took a beating, got up, didn't falter, didn't make any, you know, his usual looks. Oh, man, but he just kept coming.
You know, the great part about that game, Brandon, is that the 49ers actually thought that they were going to be able to bully us. From a physicality standpoint, we weren't going to be able to match their intensity. And the fact that we were able to do it offensively, defensively, and, of course, on special teams, that to me was the thing that we knew that we had that was special. Because whatever it took, no matter who we were going to play against, we were going to be able to get it done. And that was another one of those moments where he proved ourselves right and gave us that much more confidence going into the big game.
Who was it? Kyle Williams that let that punt hit him and bounce off and the Giants recovered?
Yeah, twice.
Yeah. Yes, twice.
Thank you for that, Kyle. All right, thanks for the call, Brendan.
You want to give Kyle Williams a game
off? No, actually, in sincerity, I actually felt badly for him because I remember he was getting death threats after that. And as serious as I take it, if you're threatening someone's life after a loss, you've gone a little bit too far.
Yeah, sometimes in sports you see the ugly side come out, and that was certainly one where you saw those 49ers fans turn on them. Because, they had a great season, man. They really did. And that was a team that went to, what, 3 straight NFC championship games?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, they had their chances. It's not all Kyle Williams' fault that the 49ers didn't win a Super Bowl in that time.
No.
But everybody wants to go back to those moments, though, right? Those are the ones that people remember.
Those are the moments that you remember. Because you don't remember a play. I mean, you might, but it doesn't ring as true a play in the second quarter that cost you the game. It's a chance to return a punt that you let hit you. You muff it. The other team jumps on it. They kick a field goal and you lose it. Those are the ones that you remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if the 49ers would have got that third and short late in the second half, then maybe you're talking about them being able to win in regulation. But it didn't happen.
No. Thank God. All right. Yeah. Let's go to Joe in Brooklyn. Joe, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's so weird that the last caller just mentioned the 2011 NFC Championship game because I just spoke to my kids about that game 2 days ago, about the beating Eli took. So weird. It's funny. I had this conversation with my friend before Super Bowl IV. When I was in college, high school, I always told my friends the most amazing game I ever saw was the 99 final, women, China, and the U.S. And I don't think that game, I don't want to be that guy, but that game just doesn't get enough respect. It just doesn't. It was one of the best games I ever saw, and it was a great time to be an American. It was.
That was the shootout, right?
That was a shootout, and Brandi Chastain and the sports bra. Yep, that was.
Right. Brianna Scurry was the goalie for the U.S. Was that a scoreless game?
Scoreless all the way through, and then I think it was, her name was Christine Lilly, who blocked the ball in overtime that made it go to the shootout.
Yeah, no, that kind of put women's sports on the map back in 99. I remember that.
And I'm a big football guy. I'm a big baseball guy. I'm a Mets fan, so I don't have a lot to say on great games. But I just don't think that game gets enough respect. Up until Super Bowl 42, I said that was always the game I wanted to be at. Best game I ever saw on TV.
Yeah,
really
it was a
was.
Great game. It was a great mm-hmm. game. Where was that? Was that at the Rose Bowl?
It was at the Rose Bowl, the Saturday afternoon. Yep.
Yeah, it was 100,000 people there. Yeah, that's a good one, Joe. Thanks for the call. That was huge. You know what else was? I mean, there are defining moments in women's sports, Rick. A lot of them that you could probably come up with right off the top of your head. But that's got to be right at the top, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you seen that photo of Brandi Chastain sliding down on her knees with her shirt in her hand in her sports bar? I mean, that's an iconic photo.
Yep. And that team was great. Would they have Mia Hamm on that team? Michelle Akers, Brianna Scurry, Christine Lilly? I mean, to remember women's soccer from, what are we now? That's 20 plus years ago. Pretty remarkable.
And they're still not getting the kind of respect that they deserve.
Julie Fathers
still,
on
they're
that
still
team.
In a fight.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still in a fight, which makes no sense. I mean, our women's soccer team is actually good. I mean, they deserve to be paid more than the men.
It's great. It's the best in the world.
It's great.
They win the World Cup every 4 years.
I understand the financial. I mean, the financial aspect as far as, you know, what the how much money the men's World Cup brings in as opposed to the women's. But, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, our team, our women's team being one of the best, if not the best in the world, as opposed to our men who can barely even qualify half the time for a World Cup.
Yeah, they didn't make it last time. Yep, it's true. Now let's go to Tom in Rockaway. Tommy, you're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. My name's Tom, and the game that I would really love to go back and see is Don Larson's perfect game in the World Series.
Mm. That was a good one. I mean, you know, Chris would enjoy it more than Rick or I would, but that certainly was one of those like, iconic games.
I was also at Yankee Stadium when Don Baylor hit an inside-of-the-park home run against the Boston Red Sox. Jim Rays ran into the wall, knocked himself out. By the time Fred Lynn got over there, Baylor was home. That was an unbelievable game, too. But I think I'd prefer the perfect game.
Yeah, of course.
A perfect game in the World Series? is that even a question?
Tom, thanks.
You know, it's funny. I heard Gordon and Larry talking about it on their show last week, and that's one of those things that you might not ever see again in sports. A perfect game in the World Series?
No. I mean, how many perfect games do you see? One every, what, like 5 years? And that's of a full season of baseball?
Mm-hmm.
So this gives you a chance to do it in seven games? You might never see that. The one that you said last week will never be broken, though, is true, Rick. No one will ever break Cal Ripken's consecutive game streak. That'll never be broken.
No, not even close. Not even close. Yeah, I mean, in the wins record for a pitcher in Major League Baseball, it won't be touched either.
Which is, what, 5-11 by Cy Young. How about the losses? Is,
yeah.
No, it's also Cy Young.
Well, which would make sense. But, I mean, even a perfect game, though. I mean, how many teams would be willing to keep their starter out there that long? We start talking about pitch counts and analytics and
everything
else.
Especially in the postseason? No, forget about it.
You don't want to get sick. That's the best way to get, lose your job. You got all these nerds giving you all these numbers, and then you keep your guy out there because you feel like
he's doing something
special. They
probably wouldn't even let you keep him in at this point.
You know another game I go back to? I was actually at, but I would go back to, was Mets-Royals World Series when Matt pitched the eight scoreless, and then he talked himself back onto the mound in the ninth.
But that was an
awful I would run into the dugout and say, listen, stay here.
You don't want to just go be a fly on the wall of these games. You want to go back, like, back to the future, and you want to change the way things played out.
Throw me right in the DeLorean. That's what I would want
to
do.
Then I could go back to that game with the Matt Dodge punt and you know, somehow get to Pat Hanlon to get to Coughlin, make sure he punts it out of bounds.
Yeah, that would be one of those. That would be one of those.
Had Deshaun Jackson not drop that punt. Him dropping that thing and having to pick it up screwed the entire coverage up.
Why were they punting to him?
That's the point, Dave. Why did you kick him the ball? You could do anything else. Just don't kick it to Deshaun Jackson.
The last play
of the
game.
10 seconds on the clock. Don't kick it to him. It's ridiculous.
You laugh. There are these
moments.
But,
Dave, that game cost us a chance to get into the playoffs.
Yes. Yes.
We would have been a playoff team had we won that game.
Awful. Had a 3-touchdown lead at home in the fourth quarter. Those are the games that drive me, they still haunt me. You know which one haunts me? The loss to the Niners in, was it 2002? 39-38? Oh, awful. Awful.
I thought you were going to say the 2000 World Series, Dave.
No, and I'll tell you why, because the Yankees were the better team. It bothers me, but the Yankees were the better team. But... And the Mets had a great run. If you look at the Mets outfield, they really had no business even going to the World Series. But the 2002 loss to the Niners is, I don't know that I'll ever get over that. It was awful.
You amaze me.
Why?
There's a better chance that the athletes that are actually participated in the game probably have an easier time getting over it than you do as the fan.
I'll remember that game like it was yesterday. Giants had, I think the final score is 39-38. Something like that. And I think the Giants had a
38-14 lead.
What was the lead?
38-14.
I mean, and Shockey dropped a touchdown. Oh, it was awful. I was just dating Sherry. That was what? That must have been 03,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, January of 2003.
Yeah. So I was just dating Sherry. We started dating for 2 months. And she knew I was off, but she didn't realize to this extent. And after the game, she goes, listen, why don't you come over? I'll make dinner and we'll pretend that never happened. And I was incredulous. I was like, never happened. I will never get over this moment. And you want to make nice and make me dinner? I was like, what is the matter with you? So she's like, you know, I could just go out with someone else who actually likes me. I was like, well, why don't you do that? And she went out with
called the bluff?
I called the bluff. She actually did go out on a date with a doctor. Got home from the date and said, you know, he's just not you. I was like, yeah, and I'm not me now either, and I can't have this conversation. Oh,
so that's a dangerous game, Dave. That is that was almost like unleashing your inner Bill Belichick. Yeah, Tom, go shop yourself.
It was like my own personal game.
She's going to make you a beautiful dinner. I mean, she's going to make you a beautiful dinner.
How could she think I could eat dinner? I don't think I ate for days after that game.
You got to be honest and tell us how long a night that was for you.
It was one of the worst nights I've ever had. It was awful.
It was a terrible decision by you. Awful decision.
Awful decision. Yeah, I agree.
How could you say that? Clearly, I won.
Well, luckily you won, but who's to say that all of a sudden, I mean, she goes out with this doctor and him and he.
I had met the doctor in the past. He was nothing special. He wasn't Eric Heiden, I'll tell you that.
That's a good point, but that's sketchy business right there. I would have just sucked it up, went over to her house, nibbled a little bit, and then just maybe
I didn't have it in me. I couldn't get off the couch.
I don't know how that's possible.
I'm telling you.
I have no idea. Like, as bad as my losses were, like, I came home and my face was caved in after taking a one punch to the face, and I still managed the strength to get a little bit frisky that night.
But what's amazing is Dave was willing to run the risk of compounding a loss.
Yeah.
Like, he'd already taken one loss that he had no control over, but the one thing that he does have some control over, he just doesn't even care.
Yeah.
It just shows how point,
really off I am.
Just to punish yourself. You just want to punish yourself.
That's what
I
like.
I kind of get it.
That's exactly it. That's why I probably went to Dunkin' Donuts and got like 12 donuts and just shoveled them in my mouth while she was out on this date. Oh, God, was I upset after that game. But it played out all right.
Your future wife on a date, and you're so upset that you're just shoveling Dunkin' Donuts into your face.
You know what, though, Rick? It shows Sherry that Dave, when he commits to something, he's all
in. That's right. She knew. Like, there's no way she could ever say years later, you know, I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Yeah, that's true.
No, she's fully aware. I mean, just the fact that, I mean, you are completely 100% right. You are off a little bit, but then just to, I mean.
A little bit?
Just
a lot of bit. A lot of bit. Let's be honest. Come on now. We love him.
No, a lot, yeah.
We can tell
him. No, I think I'm clearly off. I'm nowhere near normal. I would agree with that. I would agree with
that. At least you own it, Dave. That's the thing we love about you. That's the beauty of Dave Rothenberg.
Up until I was like 15, I was fully convinced that if I watched the game and cheered the proper way, the team I was rooting for had a better chance to win.
The proper way?
Yes.
What is the proper way? Watching it by yourself?
Just
uninterrupted?
Insane. Distract the other team, say negative things about the other team. Fully convinced.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you're pretty much you're Robert De Niro from Silver Linings Playbook that's how you would approach a game.
Yes.
No, he's Robert De Niro from the movie The Fan.
A conglomeration of many De Niro characters over the year. Yes. Yes. I don't think you really fully understand what you're dealing with.
No, I think we do. I think we're at a point where we kind of do. I had to kick you out of the studio when you were on the other side of the glass because we could hear you watching a Giants game. Like you
that
were coming across, like
Lions.
Me and Alan were trying to do a show.
Game.
Yeah, but you were trying to do a show, and we could hear your voices coming over our microphones.
Well, how would I know? It's supposed to be soundproof glass.
Yeah, but it's not Dave-proof.
Probably not.
It's not Dave-proof.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, that's not supposed to happen.
No.
And you were dressed in a suit. I remember that
Rick.
Day too.
He's nonsensical. I mean, he celebrated the Giants winning the championship in 2007 naked.
Which is, I mean, grotesque to begin with. Disgusting. Your kid probably still has nightmares.
No. No.
How do you forget something like that? I don't care how old you are. You could be 6 months old.
He was a year old.
Your sweaty, naked body.
Oh, drenched. I mean, like, dripping in sweat. Looked like I just, like, run the triathlon. drenched in sweat.
Like, yeah, I mean, like you're Rafiki from Lion King.
Yes.
Circle of Life playing in the background.
Ugh. Yes. What a great day, though.
Poor kid probably still has nightmares.
Probably so. It's all worth it.
Definitely so. Not probably. I mean, that would scar me. I'm just thinking about it now and I want to throw up.
My kids are much more normal than I am.
Yeah. And that's, I don't know if that's a hard bar, like a hard.
No,
like a high
you walk
bar
right over that bar, right? You just step right over.
Yeah, you step right over.
Yeah. Bruce in Manhattan. Bruce, you're next up on 98.7.
Listen, but especially Sheltered In, boy, it's great listening to you guys.
Well, we appreciate the call. You have a terrific voice, Bruce.
Oh, thanks a lot. The game I'd like to see, like to have seen, 1970, Game 7, New York Knickerbockers, Los Angeles Lakers machine, Willis Reed limping out onto the court, hits his first two shots, Walt Frazier goes crazy, Knicks beat the Lakers, Game 7 world champions.
Yep. Yep, that's a great one. Thanks for the call. That's true. When he hobbled out onto the court. I mean, that you realize, Rick, that's 50 years ago now?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I mean, that's a great one. That may be the last time you see a Knicks championship.
So. Well, they won in 73 also, but yeah, that's a long time.
Didn't Clyde ball like in that game, Dave?
Clyde had some crazy stats. I think he was like 35-15 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really his game.
Yeah. But you remember because Willis Reed should not have been out there, hobbled out onto the court, hit two shots, and was really never heard of again in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what people focus on. Well.
But yes, Clyde.
Yeah. But that's the emotional motivation that you need as a team to get you to that level. Watch him limp out on the court.
Yeah. It's true.
Run through a wall at that point.
Right?
Yeah. Now you watch. I feel the same way when I watch Julius Randle. I mean, I get so excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You want to run through a wall and take yourself out of the pain. Hoping the wall will concuss you and knock you out. Don't watch it anymore. Watching Julius.
And there he goes, spinning into the lane. Oh, and it's another turnover.
Spinning and winning. All right.
What is wrong with y'all?
Yeah, we have real issues. In these trying times, important to remember we pulled together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Like, how about this, Rick? Crispy Pizza with four locations in Freehold, Old Bridge, Jersey City, and New Brunswick, New Jersey, and one location in Brooklyn. Crispy Pizza strives to make the best quality food and maintain their affordable prices. Go to crispypizza.com for locations, hours, and full menu options. That's crispy with a K, pizza.com. Rick, you know what's back tonight? There's two things that are back tonight that you'll be very excited about.
You gotta give me something. With today's weather, you gotta give me something to get excited about.
Yeah, oh no, I have two things. I mean, why don't we go with our brethren here, ABC, Channel 7, The Bachelor, Listen to Your Heart. I'm gonna watch that tonight.
Okay, you watch it tonight. I'm gonna DVR it. I'll watch it tomorrow. So don't ruin it for me tomorrow.
I wouldn't do that. What is that, like a 6-episode, like quick shot, right? It's not the full season that they typically do.
Yeah, this is a quick shot. I mean, they're dabbling in some new ideas.
And what is there, like, a music component to this tonight?
Yes. That's why it's called Listen to Your Heart. I think they put together, I'm not 100% sure. I kind of stayed away from reading too much into it because I want to be surprised. I think it's like they put together, like, their musical act. It's a man and a woman as a musical act. You know what I'm saying?
And then they're just kind of locked together and we see if this takes off?
Yeah, kind of like the Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga vehicle. Star is Born.
I love that movie.
That's what this is supposed to be?
Hopefully with a better ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ending still, I mean, you knew how it was going to end too, and it still choked me up.
You knew it was going to end like that?
It's a remake.
Well, I never saw the original.
Yeah,
it was in the original.
It's like, Rick is like, Dave asking, did you know Titanic was going to end that way?
Well, Titanic is different. Titanic I knew ended like that. I didn't know.
It was still.
Who was in the original? Was Kris Kristofferson, right?
Yes.
And who was the love interest in that?
Which seems a little bit repetitive. I mean, come on, Kris Kristofferson. We can't come up with some more.
What were his parents doing? I would agree with that. Let's just stop it.
It's
making a mockery of this poor guy.
No, you panicked. They just panicked.
By the time you leave the hospital, Mrs. Kristofferson, you have to have a name on the birth certificate. Just go with Chris. I don't know.
Pull one of Rico's moves and just bust out of the hospital. No name.
It's too much for me. I don't know. How about Chris? Yes, just go with Chris. Sure, whatever.
If you don't name him, we're just going to call him Chris. Okay.
That's fine. I can't take it anywhere. Just let me out of here. All right. And then also tonight, another edition. This is on Fox TV of The Tiger King, which has the potential to be terrific.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's going to be some questions answered. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm going to be transparent. I watch, SportsCenter in the morning, and it's a repeat of the one they do at night. I do. I don't know if you guys feel the same. I'm emotionally attached to SVP. Like, I miss when SVP's not doing SportsCenter.
Yes.
But, okay. I'm telling you right now, if ESPN ever asked me at some point, could you come on to SVP and answer a couple questions about the NHL plans or whatever it is, my mind is telling me that because it's a late night SportsCenter, I would want to do the hit dressed up as either the Tiger King or the Tiger King's husband with like the fake tattoos.
Maybe put which one?
Which one?
The first one, the original. The OG. The OG.
The guy with the no teeth.
The one that has property of Joe Exotic tattooed on it?
Yeah, but I put property of SVP. I think it'd be hysterical. Oh,
yeah. That could make it a little bit awkward.
Yeah,
why
weird,
would they not have you on just for that?
I would totally, I would do it too.
You would absolutely do it.
I would have Cassie take a magic, like a marker and put all the fake tattoos on me. It'd be hysterical.
That'd be so good.
I'd have to put some on my teeth though, because he only's got like 3 or 4 teeth.
Right, if that.
Yeah, I was going high end.
Yeah, I mean the over under might have been like one and a half teeth. That man.
He said one. Over under is one and a half.
Yeah, because one of them is it. I don't know if it counts as a full tooth when it was like dangling in a different direction.
It still counts as a tooth.
Does it?
Yeah, it doesn't.
I don't know.
It is a tooth. Yes.
Yeah, that's a tooth.
Even if it's not straight, it still counts as a tooth.
So is that what you're watching tonight, the both of you? You're watching the TV not straight.
Among other things, that'll be what's on the television. Yes.
That's one of the great lines in the show. Even if it's not straight, it still counts as a tooth.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny. I believe it's still, by definition, is still defined as a tooth.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we've been talking about this for a little bit. Let's take a listen to it. Mark Teixeira was on Golic and Wingo this morning saying MLB players wouldn't be overly concerned with the return of baseball.
Honestly, as a player, and a lot of people are saying this privately, probably not as publicly, because we all want to be extremely sensitive to this thing. But players aren't as scared as probably the general population. Number one, You know, if you let me as a player back into a stadium, it's going to be a clean place. There's not going to be any, we obviously need to have some more testing. There's not going to be people with the virus all over the stadium and all over the clubhouse. We're outside for a good part of the day. Baseball, yeah, you're touching the ball and you're touching, bats and stuff, but there's not a ton of physical contact in the game. So I believe players right now would feel good about going back to work. The problem is all of the support staff that it takes to put on a baseball game, from the clubhouse attendants to the trainers to all the coaches, everybody in a big stadium, all the different cameras, the technology that you need from a game broadcast standpoint. I think players would be more worried about the support staff because we don't want to see anybody them get sick.
So what do you think, Chris? You agree with Teixeira on this one, that the players are gung-ho to get back and play, but it's the bigger picture that's the concern here?
Well, yeah, I think you have to worry about the support staff that are involved in terms of being able to put on baseball games. The players are going to want to get back and play because they know the more games that they play, the more of their salary that they're going to see in 2020. So that's their priority. But as we've said before, sometimes you got to protect the player from themselves, but also you got to protect the people that are in proximity to the players. And so, yeah, making sure that the support staff, the trainers, the equipment managers, all of those people, the coaches, making sure that all of those folks have the ability to stay safe amidst this pandemic. I think that has to be factored into the thinking for baseball as they try to chart forward the best path in order to get games back underway.
Yeah, I think the other thing, though, too, Dave, which is probably the scariest thing as far as baseball is, and he can say what he wants about, you know, there's not as much exposure. But, I mean, you're still talking about a baseball. You're still talking about a pitcher who puts his fingers in his mouth. And, I mean, ball's put in play. So now whoever it's hit to, they're touching the baseball. Then the first baseman's touching the baseball. I mean, there still is plenty of contact with baseball.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he says it's just, that all players just almost like a blanket statement. It's really not much of a concern. I would think that even if you trudge ahead and go and play, you know, if it's Arizona or if it's split up between Arizona and Florida, like the new conversation is, that you would still have pause, Rick, and be hesitant and say, I'm going to pick up and leave my family. I might not see them for months. I don't think this is such an easy decision for everybody.
No, I don't think it's an easy decision. But I think when you start talking about the finances involved, I mean, how it affects each player, how it affects the league this year, how it's going to affect the league next year. I mean, as far as how much revenue they're losing. I mean, just think about if you're the Mets. I think if you're the Wilpons right now, turning down that $2.6 billion offer. What is that going to look like after we're through all this?
It'll never look like $2.6 billion again, I'll tell you that.
No, but you also, I mean, take into account, too, that if baseball does decide to go with, you know, what I mentioned to Buster on Friday with, you know, a league in Arizona and a league in Florida, is every precaution necessary is going to be taken. This isn't, I mean, you guys will be tested. Like, it won't start until you're at that point where you're making it as safe as humanly possible to be playing these games. Like, everyone, and it's going to be a lot of people, everyone will have to be tested. Everyone will have to be tested negative, and then they'll have a legitimate way to make sure that if you do by chance get COVID-19, that in no way, shape, or form is it going to be life-threatening?
Because I was just operating under the assumption that everybody that'll be involved off the top will be tested and have to test negative for the virus before they can be allowed in those facilities.
Yes,
that has to be like that's the starting point. But it's just about being able to maintain the safety measures in order for everybody to stay safe throughout the course of the season. That, to me, is the far more difficult part in trying to figure it out, which is why I think they have to have the ability to test these players and support staff members quickly. And this might be something where it's something almost like a daily thing that people are going through.
Yeah, I think the bigger concern is, I mean, if you do get to a point where, and maybe it's not a biodome or whatever it ends up being, I mean, it's just all it takes is one or two guys that are sick of being confined to wherever they're at. They go rogue. I mean, look at
the Cowboys.
Dak Prescott. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that. But it just takes one of those guys or two or whatever it is that want to go out and you know, sneak away for a couple hours, and then God forbid they get it, and then now all of a sudden it's through your entire team.
Yeah, that's why they got to have the rapid test, man. They have to have the rapid test. They have to be able to turn that around in a matter of, you know, minutes, not talking about days, in order for everybody to stay safe if they're going to actually try to play baseball games. Because there's no way you can keep people under wraps for an entire season. You know, you're talking about hundreds of people. I just don't think that that's realistic to have a plan forward that means that you're going to quarantine all of these people that are involved for months and months at a time. I just don't see that happening.
That's why, as tough as it would be, I mean, if I were to put myself right now in a Major League Baseball player's shoes and I have to have the conversation with my wife that I'm going to have to go away for whatever it is, you know, 3-4 months, whatever it is, I would actually prefer that they stayed home as opposed to being – like, because I feel like me saying I'm going to do it, I know the risk going in. And then, you know, if for some reason I do get it just because of the proximity to all these people and these – whoever it ends up being, I would feel a lot better just me getting as opposed to me all of a sudden taking it home. And now
you wouldn't want that. The last thing you'd want is to bring it back to your family. No, you want to be separated.
No, that's my biggest fear, man. I had this conversation the other day. Like, the more we read about this thing, too, is the more we realize that it was probably here a lot sooner than we actually thought. So could you imagine? I mean, could you have imagined back then, like, before this whole thing turned into this pandemic, is that you do have it. You don't even know it. and then you bring it home and your mom gets it, and you know what I mean? And then, you know, God forbid she goes to visit your grandmother, she gets it, and then you were the one that was responsible for all that?
No.
Hell, forget that. I wouldn't want any part of that.
No, it's awful. So I think there's some sense of relief in knowing that you won't be near the people that you potentially love the most. But, you know, I don't know. It's a big undertaking for baseball to lock these guys away and to think that they won't, like you said, Chris, kind of cross that line and sneak out for God knows what at any point.
Dave, it's only been a month, and we've got issues with shelter in place here in New York City. People can't help but go out to these parks and these playgrounds. They had to shut down some parks and playgrounds.
They had to take the basketball
people wouldn't stay in their
away.
Houses.
Right?
They had to take the hoops off the basketball goals. Like, you're absolutely right. Like, it's to expect that baseball would be able to get these guys in these spring league locations and then have them quarantined for, what, 3 months, 4 months in order to have some semblance of a season? I just think that's unrealistic. I think you have to incorporate the reliable rapid testing for everybody. And when you've gotten to the point where you can provide that service for all the people involved in putting these games on, then I think you can realistically talk about them coming back.
It actually, I mean, if you sit back and you really think about the situation that baseball, the NBA, and the NHL are in currently, I'd say it's probably easier for the NBA and the NHL to get started before Major League Baseball with where they're at. Because if you go straight into the playoffs, you're talking about, you know, 16 different teams with an end in sight. It could be you losing the first round. It could be you losing the second round.
Right.
It's not a very long period of time is what you're saying.
Well, no, and if you end up being there for 2 months and you're away from your family from 2 months, that means you're playing for a championship, so you're willing to sacrifice that, as opposed to now you're sitting with no end in sight. You're playing baseball games, regular season games. Who knows how good your team is and when this thing is going to be back to where you can potentially be. It could be 2 months that all of a sudden things change and go back to wherever you're from and the schedule will change a little bit, but who knows?
So Brian Windhorst on SportsCenter discussing the NBA plans to ramp back up, and that includes a 25-day ramp up by the NBA.
What they're looking at is a 25-day return to basketball window. Hopefully at some point they can enact it. An 11-day series of individual workouts where there'd be social distancing for a period of time. And then hopefully if the clearance comes that they can play 5-on-5 basketball, a 14-day training camp. So as you hope for the country to heal and the virus to get better, look for at least about a 3.5 to 4 week return date before you'd ever get back to game.
All right, so let's think about this for a second now. I mean, when can we even start the 25-day ramp-up that then at the end of it, potentially, we have basketball, Rick?
Well, you're going to have to find a way. I mean, it all comes down to the testing and the availability of the testing. I mean, if you're talking about 11 days of individual workouts, I mean, they're not – I think that's doable. I mean, if the trainer is tested and he's negative and the players are tested and they're negative, you find a way to – you know, LeBron James has an 8 a.m. workout. He goes to the facility. He gets his workout. He leaves. Someone else comes in at 9:30, gets their workout. I mean, you can do that as long as everyone is tested. I mean, it all depends on what the ultimate goal is or what the plan entails. You can say you're going to get the 25 days, but where does that lead to? Where are the games being played? What's the situation? Is it going to be straight to the playoffs? Obviously, I mean, where is everyone going to be? What are the logistics of the plan? Until you figure that out, you're not going to get the 25 days started.
But I don't think they're going to figure that out until the beginning of May sometime in terms of being able to guesstimate exactly when they can start that 25-day ramp-up period. Listening to Wendy this morning, he said that the natural backstop for when they would end the season would be around Labor Day weekend because Adam Silver is reluctant to do anything that could potentially impact the start of the 2020-2021 season. So he was saying right around the beginning of September would be when they would want, you know, the postseason for this year to end. So, I mean, you got to think that means they have to make a decision relatively soon. It has to be probably you're talking about May or at the latest early June in terms of that. I mean, that early ramp up period.
Yeah, because you'd think if you on June 1, you're like, all right, it's a go. 25 days, let's ramp it up. Now you start, say, July 1.
Yes.
Or last couple of days of June. Postseason, and you'd have to imagine that's where you go to, right, into the 16 teams of the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have July, August, done by September, start the next season, probably, like we mentioned, around Christmas time. So to be able to get here, I mean, we're 5-6 weeks away from actually making the determination of let's actually get the ball rolling now.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I mean, rubber started to meet the road here, and they have to figure out what the plan is moving forward. I mean, I think it's safe to say that if you're going to get this season played and a champion crowned, then, I mean, you're signing up for starting the next season Christmas, which they want to do anyway. I wouldn't even fight that. And then where does this end up being held? Is it going to get all 16 teams in Vegas? Is that what ends up happening? Because that feels doable. I mean, they can – I think there's – I mean, if you've seen pictures of Vegas, I mean, it's
– Yeah.
There's nothing –
They have the infrastructure for it, right?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, this is in of the leagues that we're talking about. I mean, as far as how many players would be involved, it's obviously less than the NHL, and it's definitely clearly less than baseball. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see, Dave. I mean, it's tough to have a real strong opinion one way or the other just because everything changes day to day.
Yep, it is, and that's the hope that we get to the point where we're like, all right, guess what? It's coming back. But I don't know. Even so, sitting here on April 13th, It doesn't feel like that's right around the corner. It feels like we don't get any games before, I would say, at least mid-June is what it kind of feels like, at the earliest.
Yeah, but we're starving for it,
Dave. The one positive.
We got to have it. We got to have it. I mean, I want them to come back safely. Obviously, the precautions for the pandemic is what the priority should be. But, I'm really missing live sports right now, as is all the sports fans out there, Dave. We need something. The horse challenge ain't going to get it done.
No, that was not great. But I think the couple of positive things, though. No, I mean the fact that LeBron James has gone from saying he would be, he didn't want to play in front of empty arenas to now all of a sudden, last time you heard him was that he'd have a hard time having any closure if the season wasn't finished. I mean, if you got guys like him pushing to finish off this season, you know that the NBA is going to do whatever it can, especially with the finances involved, to try to find some way if they can to put on the rest of the NBA season.
100%.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.